Okay, let's start, guys. Good morning. Good morning for being here for the Building Windows 8 Line of Business Apps talk. My name is Kushal Shaha, and I'm a Senior Program Manager in the Windows team. And today, we will talk about the Line of Business Apps. When we talk about the Windows Store apps, essentially, we want to categorize them into two buckets. Number one, the consumer apps, something you have heard and learned a lot in the last 3 days. And then there is the business apps. And today my focus is going to be this category, the business apps. And my objective is to demonstrate and convince you guys that powerful line of business applications can be Windows Store apps. And the way we are going to do is we have divided this into two sessions. I'm going to start here with the overview, demonstrate some of the scenarios where line of business apps as Windows Store apps makes absolute sense. And then in the next session, immediately afterwards, in the same room, we will dig a bit deeper and dive deeper into some of the key technologies for building this line of business apps. So I look forward to seeing you there as well. So let's start. Well, before we actually talk about the scenarios and how to go about implementing them, let's actually get this elephant out of the room. I was talking to a few of you here. I think I talked to 10 or 12 people. 11 of them said they wanted to know more about the deployment options for this line of business apps. So I'll quickly talk about that a bit and demonstrate that there are a couple of options that you and your organization can leverage for the distribution of this line of business apps. The first one, very well known. This is where you can get the apps from the Windows Store. There is a category called business apps within the Windows Store. So as an organization, you can work with your ISV and say, ISV, push your apps to the Windows Store. We will work out a licensing model, volume licensing model, and the ISV and the enterprise can get all the data in terms of how many machines are using these apps, how many users are using these apps. And based on the agreement, the appropriate revenue is given to the ISV from the organization. So that's a known model that we all know about from the Windows Store apps. However, we all understand that probably not all apps, especially within the organization, the line of business category, you do not want to go through the Windows Store. And for that reasons, we have another mechanism, what we call as side loading. Now, in the case of side loading, again, you as a small business or maybe even as an organization can say that, I want flexibility. And that's where we offer two options to you. Number one is you can enable your machine for side loading, and it's for Windows Pro, Windows RT, x86, 64, Enterprise Q, all of them. You can enable that machine for side loading through few simple steps. And once you do that, it's a simple PowerShell script, add Apex package, that the employee can run on his machine to install that specific app, which is internal to his organization, let's say the approval app or a CRM app, and get it running on his machine. However, let's think about a big corporation. And in that scenario, the IT manager wants to be in control. He wants to say that, I want to know which apps are getting installed, which devices are installing which apps, and I want the control to even unenroll those apps or uninstall those apps when the employee leaves the organization. And for that purpose, we have the management infrastructure through System Center Configuration Manager and Windows Intune, the known tools that you have been using in your organization today to manage the desktop applications or the web applications. All that continue even for the Windows Store apps. So through the System Center Configuration Manager, now the IT manager can say that, okay, I am going to push X, Y, and Z apps. And when he pushes those apps, the model is just like we have the Windows Store and very familiar model of go to the store, get the apps, and install them on the machine, and then go and get the updates when they come. Similarly, for the same infrastructure, which is internal, whether it is for Contoso Corporation or Fabricam Corporation, there is something, for each organization, we have something called self-service portal. So the Contoso organization can have its self-service portal and say that, okay, I want in my self-service portal, the IT manager can say, for the sales organization, apps A, B, and C. For this specific employee, actually, I want A, B, C, and D. So complete control through this self-service portal. So essentially, from the backend infrastructure, System Center Configuration Manager, and Windows Intune, the IT manager says, okay, which devices are going to get these apps? Which devices are going to get these apps? And at what time I want to understand when the updates are rolled out, and even unenroll the device and the apps that are installed on that machine. So again, using the existing infrastructure, you can absolutely go about even managing, deploying, controlling, and uninstalling those apps as required from your employee's machine. So actually, let's do this. Let's actually take a look at this self-service portal and see how similar it is to the Windows Store app model. So imagine this, right? Let me switch to a different machine. So this is my Windows RT machine here. And what I'm going to do is I have this Contoso Center at the top right, you see? And this is the self-service portal for the Contoso organization. So as an employee, I will, once I enroll my device into the organization following few easy steps through the control panel, I now go into this Contoso Center, and I see all the apps that the IT manager has approved for installation by me, whether it is Contoso approvals, a few of them. But in addition to that, also, because the organization might want to say that, I want a one-stop shop for all the apps that are required by my employees. I do not want him to go at 10 different places to get 5 different apps. And hence, the same self-service portal, in this case, also provides deep links into your Windows Store apps. So in this case, the Bing Maps was not something that the Contoso Corporation developed and and is giving out to its employees. It is available in the Windows Store, but you are getting a deep link. So for your employee, you can say, always go to this Contoso Center and get all the apps that you need. We approve the apps here. We support those apps. We will update them, and we will get all the reports that we need to be compliant with the policies of our organization. So in this case, I can go in and click on Contoso. And the UI is changing right now. This is coming into beta and will release in the quarter one of 2013. The UI is getting as similar to Windows Store apps. But you go in and say install. And this app will be installed on this machine, which has been enrolled within a few seconds. So I click close. I come to the start screen here. And I have my approvals app. I come to the approvals app, and this is essentially the expense approval system for the Contoso Corporation, built internally, never has gone to the store or anywhere outside, so completely secure within the organization. And with a simple tap and install, securely this app is now used by employees at work or at home, because this device is enrolled into the organization. So these are the deployment and management options that we have available for the line of business apps. Okay? With this background, now let's talk about the line of business apps. And again, when we talk about the line of business apps, the first question, like I have been now working with partners for last 1 year, and the first question that comes out is, okay, I have my existing desktop applications. Which applications should I have 100 internal line of business applications. Which ones should I move them to Windows Store app? How should I move them? Will the platform provide the capabilities that I know and want? So that's the first set of questions that I get. And the second set of questions that I get is, how can I take advantage of this new form factors, this touch-centric world that is available, the fast and fluid nature, and all the advantages that Windows Store apps gives, and I see them a lot in the consumer space, how can I bring those advantages into my world for my employees so that I can increase their productivity and bring value to the business? So what I'm going to do is, through the next few minutes, talk about these two categories. And we'll see, we'll start with existing desktop applications and see how we move them forward and which ones we move them forward. So when we talk about the, let's start with the existing desktop applications. And when we talk about the existing desktop apps, the first question is, which ones should I move them forward? For example, I have an app which requires pixel perfect accuracy, like a CAD CAM application, or an IT application which requires administrative privileges on that machine. Should I move them forward? No. We are not here to say that all your 100 line of business apps should be moved forward. Absolutely not. Those apps continue to be desktop apps. That's the reason we provide the desktop applications. So those applications should continue as your desktop applications. But for the other 98 applications, when we say, okay, this might be some of the good candidates to move them, the questions start coming in is, okay, I am laying out my data in this particular format in my desktop or my web application. How do I lay this out in my Windows Store app? Or I have all this Chrome, this context menus, command menus. How do I move them forward? Or the question comes is that 3 or 4 or 5 personas is using the same application, so I have different settings available for each one of them. So how do I move them forward in the touch-centric world? Like, these are the typical 3 or 4 typical questions that I get in the first 15 minutes of our conversation, once we cover, of course, the deployment options. So what I'm going to do is, let's cover these options. And let's talk about how you can take these desktop applications and move them forward. And to do that, who better to talk about than one of the biggest ISVs in this world? I'm sure you all have used their applications and are using it probably even now. So let's invite Fred Sampson from SAP and see how they are moving their applications to Windows Store app. Thank you, Fred.
Hey, guys. Here we go. Morning, guys. Kushal, thank you so much. And thank you so much for all the support you've been giving us, you know, in helping us get our apps from the old world, which we'll look at today, to the new apps that we're building on Windows 8. So for us, it's been a journey. It's been a journey going from data-centric apps, from apps that traditionally were representations of data in a database, to something much, much more immersive. And the value proposition for us is that we can finally reach more users. We can take all of the rich functionality that our customers have in their backend systems, and now we can create these interactive, immersive apps to draw more usage, and for customers, really draw more value from these apps. Here's just a little bit of a design pattern that we tend to use. And the first one is, we have a lot of master data, things coming from ERP backends. We have analytics that we can integrate into these apps, as well as user-generated content, so collaboration features, notes, annotations, comments, and then all the business documents that need to be brought together. And you guys have users just like we do that spend a ton of time, that incur a lot of frustration trying to find things. And what we want to do with those apps at you know, first level is just to bring all that information together so that it's easier for people to access this stuff. The other thing, you know, those of you guys that understand how this works a little bit will notice that all of these different pieces normally come from different systems. And so we're able to bring all that together again in one single app. I'll show you that app in just a second, by the way. Now, we've moved from a lot of traditional UIs, things that were specific. I might go one place to look up customer information, but I might go somewhere else to find out if that customer is not paying his bill. And we've moved that into a single set of things. We've replaced deep navigation, navigation that users have to learn, transaction codes. We've replaced that with streamlined menus that we get from the Windows 8 design language.
Let's make sure this one is very important for the audience. So, like, I remember, like, in my expense approval app from SAP, like, for example, if I have to reach a particular customer or particular employee, I had 3, 4, 5 clicks starting from the organization, team, and to that particular employee. And it's a paging behavior. And so now that changes. How does that change?
Yeah, we've used a panorama feature to map that to it. Right. And another thing that we do all the time is, I might be looking at an employee profile and have to navigate somewhere else to get that employee's training. Now we've laid that out, not just so that it's easier to access, But so as a user, you can actually discover that functionality. So instead of having to, you know, look at menus to figure out what the app does, you simply scroll right and left, and it's all in front
of you.
I see, right?
Yeah. So that makes absolute sense.
Yeah. And again, paging. We've had long lists of paging and going back to the server. We replaced that with smooth scrolling. We've replaced list with maps. We've brought information from multiple clients and multiple backends into single clients for specific roles. So apps for HR,
yeah,
apps
and
for
this, sales. This is the one, like, I get really psyched about this embedded analytics with Semantic Zoom. Like you talked about the data-centric behavior and the analytics one. And like, I really want to show you guys how they have combined this together with a simple tap. Like, can we see this, Fred, actually?
We'll
this is the best part
just,
of that.
Just once. And why don't we just go right to it? Number three?
Let's do this.
Because everybody here loves PowerPoint, so.
One second. Just a second.
I tried to get him to give me his password. He wouldn't.
Good.
Cool. So, here's the app that we just looked at. It's called Customer Financial Fact Sheet. It just brings, you know, everybody that is field-facing, everybody that's going to go talk to a customer, I know in a lot of our companies, they need to understand what's going on with that customer, right? Are there any unpaid invoices? Do we owe them money? Do they owe us money? Are we all good? Are we, you know, are we all in good standing so that we can have a conversation with this customer? But here's my list.
And this list was all those pages that you had to go through from one click to the next click to the third click.
Correct.
And now it is simple.
Absolutely. So I can look at all of my customers this way. If I wanted to focus on those that have issues, I can filter this list. One click, filter the list to those that have issues. And what's interesting about this is users don't have to learn a new language. They don't have to open a filter, select an attribute, filter by that attribute. It's all laid out right there for
them.
Exactly.
And that's the value for the business apps that we talk about, for the touch experience, the fast and fluid nature. This is where it's coming to life in terms of the design decisions that we have to make for our business apps.
Absolutely. Right. The other thing that we've tried to do is we've tried to leverage as many of the Windows 8 features as we could. And the one that got Kishal all excited is this one.
Yeah.
You guys probably all know Semantic Zoom. So if this is a long, long list, I can actually zoom out. What I'm doing here is I'm pinching out to get this alphabetical list of customers. I'm going to unfilter it just to make it a little bit longer list. Right? And this would allow me to then drive into that set of customers.
Okay.
Well, what we've done is we've said, why can't we combine this with analytics? So instead of looking at customers by name, I want to look at my customers by sales volume. There they are, grouped by sales volume.
I see. So can I actually, like, this is the beauty. Like, I click here, so I'm seeing all my customers in a very good snapshot. And then analytics, rather than having to click and filters and do this, it's a simple semantic zoom. Like, this is how we can bring value to our business, making things so much more simpler in terms of consumption of data. So, cool.
Absolutely. You know, our folks usually like look at credit limit. And again, we can switch these attributes very easily. There's absolutely zero training when we've deployed and tested these apps with these users. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Got it.
Right. Obviously, we have other features in here. The one that people usually like is this map view. And you know, if we're going to plan our day, look at various customers, I can actually zoom in on England. You'll notice that as I zoom into the maps, we use Bing Maps for this. As I zoom into the maps, the customer list on the right is actually getting filtered. So it's only showing me those customers that are within the window of the map. Now, doing a query like that for a user is actually quite complex. Right? Show me customers within 50 miles of this particular point. Again, we've removed all that. Simple interactions, zooming, panning, touch, we can deliver, you know, just the same amount of information.
Absolutely. So that's great.
I'm going to show you one more feature here, which is this one. So here's the details of one customer. And this is what we talked about before, about bringing data from master data from our record systems, about bringing analytics directly into the application. So here they are. I can touch them. These are all absolutely interactive. And so again, simply by selecting, by touching, by moving around, I can get a complete financial picture of what's going on at that customer. And what we talked about before, too, was this idea of navigation. We used it says key facts, charts, notes. That's the navigation that we use for users to discover this stuff. And that used to be quite complex. Replaced it by a simple scrolling list. And then the last one is business documents. I'm going to look at one that's a problem, the red one right here. I can see the invoice. I can see what the issue is. I've done no queries. I haven't entered any numbers. I haven't hit search. It's all brought together for me right here in this UI. Absolutely.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Cool? All right.
What's the second app you're going to show us?
I got one more. So that was financial fact sheet. I've got one more, which I'm going to hit the Windows key. This one's interview assistant. And this one's a little bit more process-centric. The other one was a little bit more data-centric. all of us, you know, when we bring in candidates in an organization today, we want to make sure that they go through as many people as we can. We get all the information we need. We make the right decision about people that we're going to bring in. So same idea here. As I log in, I can see I've got two, as a manager right now, I've got two candidates that I'm driving through for two positions, payroll and support consultant. I can bring in same idea as before, same anatomy into the app. So I've got the business documents, the facts, user-generated content in terms of notes and ratings. I can review that candidate's resume. I can put some notes. But what's interesting, too, is I can rate the candidate right here. We'll drop this guy a star. Actually, we'll go 3 stars. And I can fill an evaluation form directly in here and then send that on to the next person. So the next person that receives this information has the process, they have my notes, and they have everything else.
Got it. Okay.
Same idea. Cool. So what you guys will also notice as well is what we're trying to do is we're trying to create applications for users. Hmm. So if you're, you know, for anybody that deals with a customer, there's a customer financial fact sheet. For all the folks that are involved in this interview process, they all share one single application, one single set of data.
I see. Okay.
Cool. Guys, that's just a preview. We've got 6 of these apps coming this year, more next year. We're incredibly excited about doing this. We, you know, our customers that are seeing these apps are giving us tremendous response.
And can you talk about, so I know like these are the six apps that SAP is going to release. When are we going to see them available? Can you talk a bit more?
I can. So our big announcement is going to be in 2 weeks. Those of you guys joining us at Sapphire in Madrid, by the way, Madrid at this time of year is fantastic. But okay. Those of you guys joining us for this, we'll get the details of this announcement. The apps will be available in the Windows App Stores. All we can say right now is soon.
This calendar year.
All we can say right now is very, very soon. Stay tuned for the official announcement. But these are going to be, by the way, you guys are the first set of folks to see this, but those are going to be our first 6 launching apps.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
So this was about SAP. And so this was about, so we started with understanding the scenarios where the migration to Windows Store makes sense. We talked about some of the design decisions and how you're laying out your data, how you're laying out the commands and moving them forward into the Windows Store apps. The next thing is about the development platform. And the question here is, I have all this functionality in my app, desktop application or web application. Can I move them forward? Can I move them into the Windows Store app? And the answer is absolutely yes. You all have seen this slide, I think now, at least for the last 1 year, we have been showing this again and again and again. Today, let's look at the power of this slide. Let's see how this comprehensive platform is being leveraged by partners to create applications in terms of functionality, which is on par with your desktop applications, and in some cases, maybe even a step forward for your employees. And for that, again, who else to invite than one of the popular ISVs? And I'm sure we have used their GoToMeeting app at least once in our lifetimes. So let's invite Tony Sanchez, solutions architect from Citrix, who will show some of his apps. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
The clicker is there. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Well, again, thank you for having us on stage. We're very, very honored to be here. And thankful for everybody that's attending our session. I think our audio's off. Try that one more time. Okay, can you guys hear me okay now?
Yeah.
All right, great, thank you. So we'll kind of go over a couple slides, and
okay.
We have some really great demos that we'd like to show you guys. So as Kushal mentioned, showing the power of this platform and what it looks like from a Citrix perspective. So for those of you that are not familiar with us, we've been a partner of Microsoft for over 20 years, which is phenomenal because we developed lots and lots of interaction and business line of apps we've been able to deliver successfully over 20 years. Using our popular technologies called ZenApp. If you've been around the industry for a while, you've probably heard names like MetaFrame, Presentation Server, things like that. But the type of applications we deliver range. We deliver applications such as engineering, healthcare, CAD-style applications, as well as financial applications. So all these critical line of business apps we've been successfully delivering for the last 10, 15, 20 years to any user on any device over any network connection. Cellular, Wi-Fi, 3G, whatever that process may be. But what's interesting is that with the new platform that is here now, from a Citrix perspective, we've been able to leverage so much of this new platform to develop and release new methods for connecting to these line of business apps. Okay. For Surface specifically, we've actually taken our Citrix receiver from the previous operating system, which is about 3 million lines of code that we've ported now over to the new platform.
3 million lines of code.
3 million.
And in terms of functionality?
It's all there.
Okay, great.
It's very, very impressive. So what I think we'd like to do is show you what that demonstration looks like.
Exactly.
Great. So Citrix receiver is our first demo we're going to show you. This is actually out now in the store. So you can download it today, connect to your corporate applications securely and safely in the data center, and still have that great rich user experience, much like if your applications were running natively on your Surface tablet.
Cool.
Okay. So let's go and switch over to this device over here.
Yes.
We are on number 4.
I think this should get you.
Not quite yet. 4?
I think it's 7. And
seven.
Then here it should be
4. Okay. Perfect. Okay. All right. So I'm going to log in. This is my classified password, so bear with me just a second. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and, as we realize with the Surface tablet that, well, we have Office on there.
Yes.
But we have all the richness of Office. We have Excel, we have Word, and we have PowerPoint. So what we'd like to do is actually show you what the receiver looks like.
Okay.
From the start menu. So in front of us, we have Citrix receiver. You can see here in the top left-hand corner. What I'd like to do is go ahead and show you what that user experience looks like in terms of connecting to an application. Let's choose Outlook, for example. Okay. So I'm going to tap on that application, and it's going to ask me to authenticate. And again, I'm securely connecting to this remote application that's hosted in the data center. So I have a list of applications here on the bottom. And very simply, I could swipe up and add new applications at any time. So as a user, I don't have to feel kind of bombarded with hundreds and hundreds of applications. I can really just pick the few that I need to get started to do my job right away with.
I see. And all these applications, Tony, they are running in the backend data center.
Exactly.
And you just feel that through the Citrix receiver, you are going to run them locally.
Exactly. It has a rich user experience, leveraging our HDX technology to give that user a high definition experience for running those applications.
Wow. And this is on Surface RT tablet.
Exactly.
Cool. Go ahead.
So let's go and give this a shot here real quick. So let's go ahead and launch Outlook.
Okay. And Go ahead.
So as you can see, I've connected. And what's kind of cool is that if you're using Office 2013 now, you realize it's really, really optimized for touch.
Yep.
And because we're connecting here from a touch tablet, remoted into the data center, I have full functionality of my fingers through Outlook 2013.
Yeah, like, and the best part is here, I don't even know that I'm in the Citrix receiver app.
Exactly.
And on Surface RT, if you are all, you do not, you have Word, Excel, PowerPoint, now you have Outlook 2013 also running, and this is a Windows Store app in a way.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So we can go through and I can look at any particular email. Hopefully my boss didn't send me any private stuff. So we'll just go through and bounce around. You can see I've got some email, I've got calendar, I've got people, I've got everything I need to go ahead and be productive and have that look and feel like this application is loaded natively. But again, it's all running remotely in the data center.
Yeah, that's the power of the development platform that we have provided working with Citrix to get this app on the store. Great.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Great.
What's the next app that you want to show us today?
Well, the next app we'd like to show you is GoToMeeting.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and swipe down and close this application out. And you can see here, we also have GoToMeeting here on the left-hand side. So we're going to go ahead and launch that. And I'm going to go ahead and paste in my meeting here. And we're going to go ahead and join the meeting. So we'll give this a second to connect. And as we're going through this process, you can hear some audio in the background. What you're seeing now is our attendee who is connected to us in this live meeting or this GoToMeeting at the moment. And we actually can see his Windows desktop from our Surface tablet through this meeting. So we've actually really been able to leverage this software as a service and be able to provide this rich user experience on the Surface RT tablet connected to a user that could be anywhere.
I see. So that's so the first application we saw was the taking advantage of all the networking, SSL, and all those capabilities that we have provided. And this one takes a notch above for the audio and the communication and the video capabilities here.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. So if we have our attendee on the line, if we could just kind of hear, hi, if you can hear us at the moment, just say hi.
Hey, Tony, you see that interesting website?
We sure do.
And actually, the two things I want to show here is, can we show the snap view for this application?
Absolutely, we can show a snap view. So let's go ahead and swipe down from the bottom. And we can see here, we have mute, we have attendees, and we have this little option here. We can see the people that are connected to our meeting right here at this very moment.
Cool. The snap view.
Side by side. So we can go to the right, and we can shift over. So we can have my Windows 8 Surface tablet, and I can still swipe back to the left.
And my desktop is still, like, the shared desktop is still running in the snap view grid as well.
Yep.
The last thing I want to show is, again, can we get this app in the background and still see the audio working as well? So let's get that. Let's go to some other app, maybe.
Okay. Gotcha.
And can we get the audio still?
Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
So absolutely.
Yep.
That's the power. That's the power I want to show here, where your application, it's a field employee. He's doing tons of things at the same time. So he's able to bring productivity through some other apps. And then for the day-to-day job, GoToMeeting he's using every day, he can continue to use as is. And even when the app is in the background, he's doing in the snap view, mm-hmm. still works, whether it's the desktop sharing, video, audio, all of them available to you. Cool.
Absolutely.
Cool. So that's the second app, GoToMeeting. What's the third app that you want to show us today?
We have one more app we'd like to show, so we'll go ahead and close out that meeting. We have an app we're debuting for the first time. And to kind of preface this really quick, prior to being at Citrix, I worked for a big, large enterprise marketing company. You probably heard those people that call you up at midnight and ask, can you want to participate in like a cracker survey? Well, that's the company I work for. So I apologize. Those are people that actually were on the team that I worked on. So one of the things I did was I actually ran a very large Citrix infrastructure. And there was one time at night where I was providing technical global support for this large company. And I received a call from a user. My phone rang. It was this Death Star or Star Wars phone. So I knew that there was something important. But what was interesting is when I answered the phone, it wasn't IT. It was the same company, my company, calling me to participate in that salt cracker survey. So I'm like, hello? And she's like, oh, this is Jill. I'm like, Jill so-and-so? She's like, yeah. I said, this is Tony from IT. She goes, oh, my goodness. You know, I didn't know how they get your number. I'm like, let's not go into that. And so I said, she said, well, can you help me? I'm actually running off a script right now. I need my Citrix session reset. And it's kind of difficult at midnight to get all pumped up and jazz and get your PC fired up, connect to corporate, read the tunnel, go through all that stuff to reset a user's session. It'd be really cool if there was a simple, easy way to do that in a matter of just a few clicks.
Cool.
So let's show what that looks like. In the bottom corner, we have something called Zen App Manager. So we're going to go ahead and load that application. Immediately, it's going to talk to the back-end data center of all my Citrix Zen App servers. It's going to enumerate users that are logged in, users that are disconnected, users that are down. Well, I've got this call, and I want to go and just reset somebody. How simple is it for me to do that? So let's go ahead and go into this user here. You can see I've got a farm here, some users and some sessions, but I've got one user that's down. So there's William. He's in a down state. I'd really would love to just simply reset William, let him get back to work so I can get back to sleep.
So again, so this is where this is your data center farm somewhere exactly. remotely, and mm-hmm. you are using a Windows Store app managing that from your Surface tablet.
Exactly.
Cool.
Pretty powerful.
Cool.
So I can select William here and simply click log off. That's going to go back, talk to the back-end data center, find William, log off his session. Now William can get back to work, and I can get back to sleep.
It's like a couch admin scenario, essentially.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I could play Xbox on the couch, and all of a sudden I get this text. I really want to just get this user back and running so I can get back to my game.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's cool.
So we can also do one more thing. We can actually group by. And maybe I have a large set of farms, hundreds, thousands of servers. It's kind of difficult to see all these users. What if I just wanted to group by the app, such as Excel, or group by the user state? I can simply do that and get those filters created and really find that user or that trouble application that might be having an issue right away.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. And can you talk to us about when are these apps going to be available in the store?
Absolutely. So Citrix Receiver is currently available today in the store as a tech preview. So you can definitely go download it, try it, and connect to your back-end Citrix infrastructure. As far as GoToMeeting, that's coming also Q4 of this year. And the ZenApp Manager, which we just showed today for the very first time, will be in Q1 of 2013.
Cool. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Tony, for your time.
Thank you, Christian.
Thank you so much. So with this two ISVs and examples, we talked about the existing desktop applications and how you can move them forward and when and with what development platform you can move them forward into the Windows Store app. So that was about your existing applications. But as we talk to partners, the next question is, okay, this is all great, But the technology is moving forward. With Windows 8 platform, the new form factors are coming, the touch-centric world, the fast and fluid nature of the apps, the longer battery life, all those capabilities. How, as a business, can I take advantage of these capabilities? How can I reimagine my existing solutions and provide a new solution which can improve the productivity of my employees and provide value to the business? And what we are going to do is, in the next few minutes, talk about reimagining solutions. And we are going to look at a few examples, starting with a point-of-sale system. A point-of-sale system, typically we know of, where you're going to the counter and checking out things and paying. We are now working with partners where the customer service representative is using a simple Surface RT tablet and saying that, okay, great, can I can help you as a customer in the shopping and in the checkout process. We are also working with the airline companies for their cashless cabin scenario, using a Surface RT or a Windows 8 machine for the point of sale or the checkout processes. The second one that we are seeing, and this is actually across all the industries, where what they want to do is take this advanced UI and the fast and fluid and the touch-centric world and still provide a very human experience that these salespeople can use when they're interacting with their clients and trying to make the sale. So Windows Store app for the product catalog is hugely popular, and I'm sure is also applicable to some of your scenarios. The third one is the workflow management. And this is where I am right now working with a construction company based off Canada, where the construction manager is now using a Windows Store app to coordinate the construction activities. We have another company for the factory floor scenario, using a simple tablet to go and manage the factory floor rather than a big, bulky laptop. The next one is the dashboards. And this is where, like for the managers, who want to consume a lot of data very quickly. This dashboard scenarios is where, using the chart controls, that the third-party chart controls from Telerik, Syncfusion, we have been able to create great applications so that managers or the executives can come in, consume a lot of data, and make decisions as quickly as possible, and all in a very secure manner. Monitoring and action. And this is an interesting scenario. We are working with an auto racing company where they are using this Windows Store app to monitor the performance of the car and to fine-tune it as appropriate. And this is a very high-performance app because the laps, they finish in like 30, 35 seconds, and they want to get all the data, huge amounts of data, immediately, consume, like grok all that data across different parameters, and immediately take action so that the next lap, the performance is improving. So that's a great app that we are seeing in action. And finally, the field apps. Again, a very popular category, whether it is for customer relationship management or a couple of other scenarios we will see in a minute, where the field employees, so they have their existing desktop apps for the day-to-day activities. Now they are using the field apps for their business activities and improving the productivity and bringing in value to the business. So let's do this. Let's actually see one of the field apps in action. And the one I'm going to show you today is from Highland Software. It's an enterprise content management ISV. And the reason I chose this app was it's a field app, but a lot of examples that you have seen till date was all about consumption of data. Like, I'm consuming a lot of data, but I understand. It's a business scenario. It's a business application. So as much as it is about consumption, it can also be about input of data. Small inputs, large inputs. So let's actually take a few examples where it's both consumption, but for as much as the line of business addition of data. So let me quickly again switch. I go to 3. And the app here is the claim adjuster app. The app name is OnBase. It's used by the insurance claim professionals to assess the claims, go to the inspection sites, take the right decisions, and move the workflow. It's a huge workflow from when the claim comes in and when it gets approved. So this is where, for the claim inspector, his assessor, who is coming in, doing the steps that he has to do on the field and moving the workflow forward. It's, of course, we have the lifestyle. In this case, it's telling him that he has 9 claims that he has to go through and take them forward. So I come in. I'll quickly enter my password. And here, the best part is, for this app, we were able to use the exact same backend system that Highland Software had and for all of its clients. It was not where, for the Windows Store app, I had to go and build a new backend system, or I had to go and invent a new authentication mechanism. It was all there. I was able to use it and move the application forward. And so and this is where I come in. This is my entry page. And the claim assessor can immediately see, great, I have a few new claims pended by adjuster, or some of them are work complete, recently viewed. Of course, the semantic zoom absolutely works. So let's actually go into the new claims. And again, search, etc. works here, where I can go in and say that I want to search for a particular, I want to search for a particular client. So that works great. I come in here, and this is where I'm getting a good snapshot view of what this partner is, of what this claim is all about. And like, when I was talking to this partner, one big important thing that they told us was that in the insurance industry, it's very important to be able to respond as immediately as possible. Like, it's a disaster, like a storm. Like, they want to probably reach there even before the authorities reach there. And that's where a lot of back-end work happens, to make sure that there is right load balancing and people are going in the right direction. So, of course, all the Bing Map integration with geolocation services absolutely works great. You can enter the address that you want to, and you exactly know where you want to go from the first, second, and third claim. So this geolocation capabilities help them a lot. Moving forward, of course, addition of photos. Hey, I'm going to take. I'm going to be assessing the inspection site, so I should be able to go and take some photos and add it into the system. And another part which they were very happy about was, see, it's a disaster zone. Internet connectivity probably is going to be difficult to get, right? So a lot of work probably will happen offline. Say you get the scanned documents from them, or you are able to get some photos in an offline manner. You want a way to get those documents and put into the system as soon as possible. And this is where the upload and being able to go and access my file system, where I'm getting all those documents or photos, etc., comes in very handy, which, again, we do not get in any other platform. So they were very, very happy about this one. And finally, we talked about input of data, right? One of the gentlemen asked me the question that, how can I input data? And in the case of line of business apps, it's a lot about form filling. This is not a huge form. It's a medium-sized one. But for me, as a claim assessor, it's so much simpler that I'm coming in, having a Surface tablet in my hand, and maybe using just using hands, I can enter all the information that I want to using the virtual keyboard. Or if I have a Windows 8 tablet, probably using a pen. Where I can go in and enter the information. I just kept my pen somewhere here. But I can go and enter the information that I want to. The virtual keyboard works great. But that's a power where we were able to consume data, but at the same time, there is medium amount of input of data that you are doing from your app, Windows Store app, maybe just using a simple tablet rather than a bulky laptop. And even in an offline manner, which, again, is very, very powerful for this industry, where the response time is hugely critical. So this was about the Highland on-base application. And some of the things that we saw here were starting with simple forms, camera, geolocation capabilities. And a lot of this will be applicable in your business for your field employees. So they can leverage this capabilities and provide a first-class experience so that the field employees can do their jobs and can do it faster in a better manner. So that's the Highland application. The next one that I want to talk about is the monitoring and action. I talked about the auto racing scenario. The one I'm going to show today is the Greenway Medical. And one of the big reasons I chose this app was when we talk about a business application, writing it and getting it approved and moving it forward probably takes months. This application was built in 6 weeks, start to finish, and is right now available in the store. So going through the entire process in 6 weeks, and it's a healthcare industry, so making sure all the compliance, security, all those is followed through and still getting the app approved. That's the power, and that's what I want to get out here. That it's, you do not need months to write a simple Windows Store app. It's a matter of weeks now, using, of course, the development platform that we provide. So let's actually take a look at this app in action again. So coming in here, the application name is Prime Mobile. I can come in and, again, entering my credentials. Again, same existing backend systems, same authentication mechanisms. I'm coming in, and there are two scenarios here. Whether I'm a nurse or I'm a doctor or a physician who is coming in, consuming a lot of data, and saying what are the next steps to be taken. So in this case, again, we follow that standard pattern that with a lot of partners, Semantic Zoom absolutely works. I know what are my appointments moving forward. I come in here. Let's actually pick up one of these patients. And as a nurse, I immediately know that, okay, who this patient is, what's the things that I want to collect, and move them forward. And imagine this in your desktop or your web application. It was all about pages where you're clicking from one link to another. And I remember, like, it was about where I still have, actually, like, with my doctor, the nurse comes in this way. And she's entering things like this, probably taking a pen, entering things. And now, with this tablet, with this app, on a tablet, it becomes so much simpler. She's just scrolling through things, trying to say that, okay, what I need to collect, what is the data that is already available, whether it's lab tests, etc. And again, this is where Semantic Zoom helps a lot. In the case of healthcare, like, there are a lot of workflows. If this result happens, what I do next? Third, fourth step. So this is where I have everything so simply scrollable, and I get to the location that I want to get at within a few clicks. So what we can do is, I can come to, in this case, vitals. I'm sorry, I missed my pen. I wanted to show the pen inputs as well here, but I can come into the vitals location. And okay, these are the vitals I have, but at the same time, I can go in and add more vitals that I need to, starting with weight, heart rate, etc. And as soon as you enter that, this is you get the chart controls so that, again, the physician comes in. He's not looking at huge reams of text to figure out, okay, what's happening. He gets the consistency, what's happening with the patient immediately. And again, this is a great... thank you so much. So this is a great app. And the power of this, and what I really want to get across, is 6 weeks. This took 6 weeks to write and get it into the store. It's not like a prototype that's I have on my machine. You can go in and you can right now see it in the store and download this app and work with it. All compliance, everything available for you. So this was the Greenway Medical app. And the few things that we saw in here, starting with workflows, form editing with pen, I didn't show it, but as I said, it's available in the store. Please go and try it right away. And the chart controls. As I said, there are great third-party chart controls from Telerik, Syncfusion, that really help all this line of business scenarios, whether it's a very high-performance chart, line chart, pie graph, with legends, etc. Like, a lot of flexibility that you can leverage as well. So that's a Greenway Medical scenario. The final app that I want to talk about today is a dashboard. I talked about, in the case of dashboard, it is about, hey, a C-level executive, he wants to see charts, graphs, know what's happening in the business, take the right actions, etc. So great, I get it. But this scenario is where it's actually from NASDAQ. The app name is Director's Desk. It's a boardroom portal used by the board of directors so that they can collaborate and access information in a very secure manner. It's used by 22,000 board members already. It's one of the first boardroom portal that was created. It's a web application. And what I want to do is I want to show the difference between their web application, which is good. I mean, they follow all the traditional patterns. They get it right there. But let's see the difference with what a Windows Store app does it for them. So again, coming back to my screen, I'm going to go in here. And so this is the directorsdesk.com, right? When I come in and I go to my IE browser and I say, okay, let's go to Director's Desk, this is what I see. The immediate difference comes in here. I come to here, Director's Desk, I already have a live tile. I've not logged in. It's not that I have already logged in. But I already know through a live tile that there is a vote due. There is no confidential information that is being revealed, that this vote is for some specific shareholder resolution. But I already know what I have to do. Where am I? And based on that, I can say, OK, great. So I can move it forward and maybe log into this application to see what that actual vote is about. So I can enter in. But again, before I log in, let's actually go to that web application. So I'm going to log in here. And you can see that thing, but anyways, this is the view. I, as a board member, I'm coming in, and this is the view I'm seeing for what my meetings are, when are they, and a small snapshot saying where the location of that meeting is. Good, right? It's a traditional web application that we all are used to today, right? Now let's actually look at the Windows Store application. So I come in here, I log in, and boom, this is the view you are getting. Starting from, this is the same meeting that we saw, the 2nd November, but I already have my contacts. I know who are my previous meetings were. I can move them, again, with a simple scroll behavior, I know what's happening in my entire fiscal year, so I can quickly do a semantic zoom. Tells me exactly what's happening with my business or for my company, and I know what meetings I need to attend. Coming back here, search functionality, of course, all of that available. I won't go through that. Let's actually go into one of these meetings, right? Again, this is where I come in. I immediately am able to get a good snapshot saying, okay, where is the meeting? What is the passcode? I can bring up the Bing Maps, which exactly tells me that, okay, the location of it with directions, etc. We have seen some of the geolocation capabilities. So I'm not going to go through that. What I want to show, and this is actually, again, I'm sure a lot of you have seen consumer apps or even maybe business apps where you have Word document or PDF documents, which is very common. And what happens right now in the Windows Store app is people click on that PDF document, and it opens in the PDF reader. And then the employee is doing Control Tab all the time to switch between his Windows Store app and his PDF document. In this case, these guys have done this awesome where I can come in, and I now have my PDF document opened within my app. So this is a PowerPoint presentation, everything, simple scrolling, and I'm going through all these things within the application. So no more Control Tab. So that was the first beautiful thing that these guys have done. The second thing I really like about this is, let's say this, editing capabilities. Again, I'm a board member. I'm not going to be filling reams of forms, probably like the way the claim insurance guy is doing. But I want to highlight a few things. And I want to take action. The pen control, of course, we could have seen that in the Greenway Medical. But in here, let's see, even with the hand, the power of it. So I can go in. I can say that, OK, let's actually mark something. This one is on the text. So 1 second. So I can say, OK, great. Let me mark this one. Because these are the things that I want to discuss today with my or during the board meeting with my partners. Or I can say, actually, I want to mark this, or I want to highlight these options. So I want to say that, okay, this is something I really need to discuss. why are this numbers this way rather than something other I was expecting. So again, with the hand, simply on my tablet, I'm on the go, I'm able to do all this, which I'm sure you cannot do today in your web application. And this is where, again, the power of business applications through Windows Store apps. Final thing I want to show here is, again, annotation. So you can say, okay, great, I want to add an annotation, and I can add notes here. So 1 second, I can show that as well. So I could have added the notes as well, but anyways, I'm not able to show that right now. But these are some of the notes that I previously had where I was able to go in and capture the notes, and eventually when I go back in here, all my notes are captured. Again, available in my hub view, which tells me that, okay, these are the highlights that I have captured, or these are the things I want to discuss. So I go into the meeting, I have my tablet, and I'm seeing those notes and being able to take action without having to go and do paging or going through different tons of different pages. So this is where the power of Windows Store app comes. So this was the Director's Desk application. Some of the things that we saw here, starting with form editing, we saw the geolocation, live tiles, and all the power, which all, in a very secure manner, is available for your business scenarios. And this app is going through store certification, so should be available in the next few business days in the store itself. So that's pretty much it. For the line of business applications, these are some of the reasons why you want to think about having your business scenarios as Windows Store apps. And let's do this. Let's actually continue right here in this room in a few minutes. That's the second session that we will have, Key Technologies for Line of Business Apps from Robert Greene. And let's open the floor right now for questions. Thank you so much. Yes? Yes, absolutely, you can do that. The text entry, right? The question is, can I do text entry in some of those forms? Absolutely, you can. With a pen, yes, with a pen. And I couldn't find my pen. I got it. If you can come here after the meeting, I'll show it to you. With handwriting as opposed to the virtual keyboard. With handwriting, with a pen, yes, you can. And I, as I said, I was not finding my pen, but if you come here, I'll show it to you afterwards. Yeah. Yes. So basically, really depends on your business, but in some cases we are seeing partners who are saying that, okay, let's distribute it and then share the data between them as required. But yes, we do say that rather than having 10 different settings, so for each persona, the user is going and saying, I am this persona, so let me change all these 10 settings and then have this app work for him. It's more about, let's have defaults, right? Let's improve his productivity. Creating these apps, as you saw, is not that difficult. So let's improve his productivity, let's make defaults, targeting a specific persona, get it working, and then data sharing through backend, etc. Again, very simple. And you will see that again in the next session where we will talk about how you can use your existing data sets. 1 second, can I take that one from that side? Yes, you go ahead. I have seen a few businesses do that with a few partners. You just have to figure out how you're going to do the data sharing between the two apps through some backend. But I have seen a few partners do that. But the question is really, do you want to do it? Is it that complementary functionality where the desktop application provides nitty-gritty details and your Windows Store app is providing something just for the executives to go and consume, or maybe some social experience that they want to provide for their employees? So, yes, I have seen that kind of examples. Data sharing is interesting in that, because then you have to share it with your backend. But yes, I've seen that.
Can you actually launch the app from your store?
Yes, you can do that. Yes, I'll take this one. I'll take one.
I have two questions.
Okay.
One, the line of business sharing of applications or hosting in an enterprise setting, does that particular pattern allow all the robustness of the Microsoft Store for checking in software, quality, capture components, that type of stuff?
Yep.
And then the other question of that, could you install a metering type scenario so that the app can only live for so long, so that you capture usage? The thought would be is that to leverage the deployment method in that licensed approach to remove software that's not used in the enterprise.
I see. So the question, two questions here. The first one is, like Windows Store offers, for example, content compliance certification, which you can go through a Windows certification kit. Like what of those capabilities are offered if you go through your own enterprise self-service portal? The answer for that is, in that case, the IT manager is responsible for content compliance, for making sure the app is following the best practices, and it is passing through the Windows certification kit. We never get that app, so it is your responsibility that all those guidelines that we provide are absolutely met. We actually recommend that Windows certification kit is an absolute must to make sure that app will work in Windows vNext as well. So that's your responsibility there. And IT manager can do it, absolutely. All the tools are provided to him for that, as I said, with the certification kit. The second question is about, like, can I collect metric information? When can I? And can I say that app has to stop, et cetera? Like, there are ways you can do that using, like, certificates, revoking the certificate. But you do get reports that this app has been used on the back end using Windows Intune and System Center Configuration Manager, which tells you which employee is using which app. When did he use it, all that data. So you can direct out of it and take appropriate actions of revoking, etc. Some things probably you might want to dig deeper into those capabilities and see if it exactly solves your problems. I'll take that question. Yes, sir.
Sure. How do we handle updates to sideloaded apps? What are the
strategies? If it is going through System Center Configuration Manager or Windows Intune, again, the IT manager can push the updates. And just like the Windows Store, like you see the updates at the top right, you will absolutely get the same. That's the same behavior. Now, if he's just using a PowerShell script, then yes, again, it's a simple PowerShell script to go and say uninstall and then add the new package again.
So you have to send something out to everybody.
Yeah, like, and it's a simple thing, right? You just push it in the self-service portal, and it gets to all the employees. It's not. It's just like Windows Store apps, like the way they get it there. No, there are scenarios where you can force push the updates through Windows Intune. And a CCM, sorry, both. When I say Windows Intune, it's... Yes. Exactly, yes. He has to run the... Well, on x86 64 machines, again, using the remote PowerShell, the IT manager can put... If he has the IP addresses and admin privileges on that machine, he can absolutely push that. Yeah, sure, he can do that. On RT machine, like, no, you do not want to do that.
And how about the home version of the operating system? Is there any way to sideload apps on
that? So you're talking not even Windows Pro, just Windows? No. No. Let's do this. Let's actually take a few more questions if people are interested. So I'll take that one first, and I'll come back to you. I'm sorry, making sure I understand. I'm sorry, I'm not clear about your question. Sorry.
Okay, we've got a desktop application that needs admin privileges, so we can't convert it to a Windows Store app.
Yep.
But can we run that app on Windows RT?
No, you cannot. That's the current world. I'll take this one.
We have developed a business app.
Okay.
And one problem we came across was there's no built-in input validation possibility in WinRT XAML, and this really annoyed us. So what would you suggest?
So that's a bit going a bit deeper into the specific implementation. Let's meet offline and try to figure out what that question is. For people who want to leave, I have a few cards here. Please feel free to email me if you have any scenarios, you want to explore them, you want to know what can be done. I'll be happy to help you guys. And I'm going to stay here even for the next session and even afterwards. So if you have questions you want to discuss one-on-one, please drop by and we will discuss them. Cool. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. Cool. Thank you so much.